chapter 1. Am I on? I think I'm on. Yeah. John chapter 1. We're going to talk today about God's revelation of himself to us. I believe John teaches us that well, that God has revealed himself to us. Guys, Christmas and Easter, I mean, this is what it's all about. When we think about the life of a believer and what we celebrate, that Jesus came down, that God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son so that those who believe in him would not perish, but we could have everlasting life. We could live with God forever in his love perfectly. Easter, Jesus came to accomplish that salvation that was promised in John chapter 3 and other parts of the Bible by dying on a cross, being buried in a tomb, and 3 days later raised from the dead. And so we celebrate that. And Christmas is one of those times where we really are able to focus in on it. And I'm grateful to be with you today to do that. So John chapter 1, we're going to get there in just a second, but let me pray for us first. And before I pray, let me mention the Lottie Moon Christmas offering also. Guys, thank you for showing the video. I know you guys do a great job with that, and I'm grateful for the way you educate the congregation. You know what's going on in Southern Baptist life. We have over 3,000 missionaries all over the world. They're telling people about Jesus right now in places where people have never, ever heard about Jesus before. Ultimately, that's what God's calling us to, is to be on mission with him and to be sending people out. Just like he sent his son, as a church, we are to send so that folks can hear about the good news. I want to challenge you in this. How much are you going to give to Lottie Moon? Are you going to spend more on Christmas presents than you are on Lottie Moon? I would encourage you to try to give more to Lottie Moon than you spend on Christmas presents. Give more to Lottie Moon than you give to Walmart. And, and let's see what God will do with that. I know, Beth and I have been blessed by that firsthand, living overseas. And people like Kanong, Chinese guy that I was able to reach out to by God's grace, who became a believer and has pastored countless numbers of house churches. He Yaoming, it sounds like Yaoming, the basketball player, but it's not him. It's another one. From a village in the foothills of the Himalayas, became a believer, and today he's translating the Bible into his village's language, so that more people can hear about Jesus. When we give to Lottie Moon, that's what we're giving to, guys. So I want to encourage you in that. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us. God, thank you for calling us to be your people. God, that you sent your son so that we could be reconciled to you. God, we could be saved. We could be forgiven of our sins. God, you loved us that much. God, help us as we read this morning that we would see that, we would understand that a little bit better. God, that in our hearts we would be encouraged and have joy thinking about you and what you've done. God, how you've revealed yourself to us by sending your son, and God, what that means for us. So I pray, God, for this time that your spirit would work in our hearts. God, work in this church. Thank you for Fairlawn. God, I ask you would bless them. I pray that as they serve their community these next few days and weeks, that God, you would bless that. God, as they seek your guidance these next few weeks and months, God, and pastor search, all those things, God, I pray that you would bless that. God, I pray and I ask and believe that, God, this church has had great days in the past. I pray that they would have even greater ones in the future. So, God, we ask those things this morning and trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John 1:1. Before we get there, I was thinking about this as I was reading thinking about the advent, the coming of Jesus, and I don't know why it hit me, but this idea of celebrity sightings. We get so excited when we see famous people, don't we? Hollywood, ball games. We'll see pictures on the internet of somebody famous, and they were sighted walking in town somewhere. We want to get autographs and all those kinds of things. When we see these famous people, we go crazy. Whole websites and TV shows are dedicated to celebrity sightings. Social media, it just feeds the frenzy of excitement. We can't get enough. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, are we that excited about the fact that Jesus has come? Right? God has revealed himself to us. God's Son has arrived. His advent, it's here. We're celebrating it. And I ask that God will continue to grow our excitement, our love, our desire to understand better what it means that Jesus has come. So let's look at John 1. We're going to look at two verses, John 1:1 and 1:14. We're going to think about Jesus coming. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verses 2 through 13 talk about this Word. And then verse 14 clarifies for us exactly who this Word is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, that Greek word there is logos. The logos of God was made flesh. What does that mean? The logos, the Word, it means something that is stated, something that is said. It can mean that. It can also mean the reason, the logic, or the wisdom of something or someone. It's also an expression, particularly a divine expression. It speaks to communication and even revelation. So when we read in John 1 here, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, we know that it's talking about God revealing himself, specifically revealing himself through his Son. The Word is God's powerful self-expression in creation. So when we talk about, we go out and we see the stars and how the beauty of creation, it reminds us of God, and we think on God. Well, this, John 1, is not just speaking to a general revelation, it's talking about a very specific revelation. The powerful self-expression in creation, revelation, and salvation. John is using logos here as God's ultimate self-disclosure. God wants to show us what he's like, who he is. And Jesus is the supreme revelation. Hebrews 1 says it this way. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, however, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The Logos, the Word of God, tells us how the Son of God was sent into the world to become the Jesus of history. So think about this. God became a man, and he came to earth in real time, real history, because of work that needed to be done. He became Jesus, the Jesus of history, so that the glory and the grace of God might be uniquely and perfectly disclosed to us. So God wants to show us something about himself. God wants to reveal himself. And what we're going to look at here very quickly is three things that God is revealing to us by sending his Son. The first one is this. God is revealing his character. So what do we learn about the character of God in John 1:1 and 1:14? Well, first, when we speak about God's character, we think of God as love. The Bible clearly tells us that. Actually, John wrote that in one of his letters, 1 John. God is love. Point two, in just a minute, is going to speak more fully to this idea of God loving us, but this should be said first thing. God is love. We see that love most clearly in the incarnation of Jesus. Now, here's the thing. God has always been loving. It's part of his eternal nature. He's always been giving and receiving perfect love as the triune God. John 17, 24 says Jesus is actually praying, and he prays for his disciples, and he prays about how the Father has loved the Son before the foundation of the world. And he prays that his disciples would experience, would know that love. So John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It takes us back in a lot of ways to Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. But Genesis 1, 1, there was something happening before that. Before creation, before God spoke and light was created, before God spoke and the world was created, God was existing as Father, Son, Holy Spirit in a perfect, loving relationship. God didn't need to create us because he was lacking anything. God chose to create us so that he could share his perfect love with his creation. This is fundamental to God's character and revelation of himself through Jesus, the Son. So when we think about what is God revealing to us in sending his Son down, God is revealing his love most fully in Jesus. Another thing that God's revealing whenever he sends his Son about his character, he's revealing his glory. Now let's look at this for just a second. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father. When the Bible speaks about God's glory, it's particularly here, I think it's pointing us back in a lot of ways to Exodus 33 and Exodus 34. It's clarifying something of the character of God and revealing his glory. He is revealing, when God reveals his glory, he's revealing his goodness. Look at Exodus 33, verses 12 to 19, if you can. Now, y'all know the story. Moses is leading the Israelites into the promised land. And what Moses said, as God is telling him what to do, and God's telling him to lead the people into the promised land, Moses says, we will not go if you don't go with us. If you don't go, we won't make it. If you don't go with us. And God promises his presence. And then Moses makes a very, very bold request. He asks God to show him his glory. Moses said to the Lord, Exodus 33, 12, look, you have told me, lead this people up, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor with me. Now, if I have indeed found favor with you, please teach me your ways, and I will know you so that I may find favor with you. Now, consider that this nation is your people. And he replied, God replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. If your presence does not go, Moses responded to him, don't make us go up from here. How will it be known that I and your people have found favor with you unless you go with us? I and your people will be distinguished by this from all the other people on the face of the earth. Verse 17, the Lord answered Moses, I will do this very thing you have asked, for you have found favor with me, and I know you by name. Now, Moses is talking to the Most High God. And look at what he asks in verse 18. Then Moses said, please let me see your glory. Moses wants to go deeper in his relationship with God. He wants to see the ultimate revelation of who God is. So he asks to see his glory. And look at what God says. the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name, the Lord, before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So God tells us here that his glory and his goodness are very intimately related. His beauty. There's gladness. That word can mean gladness, joy. That thing which causes good to go out with someone. You know, if we say, hey, I wish you well, God's glory, God's goodness in our lives sends us out and wishes us well. He is a good God. He is a great God. And Jesus, it says in John 1:14, he revealed the glory of God. Exodus 34 says it this way, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. God loves us. God is good to us. God is so good that he sent us his Son, and he showed us his glory and his goodness through his Son. Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher in early America, said this, God is arrayed with an infinite brightness, a brightness that doesn't create pain as the light of the sun pains the eyes to behold, but rather fills with excess joy and delight. Indeed, no man can see God and live, because the sight of such glory would overpower nature. It's because the joy and pleasure in beholding would be too strong for a frail nature. I think when we think of the glory of God and the greatness and the bigness of God, we think of it in terrifying terms, sometimes negatively. God's glory and greatness and goodness are shown most clearly through the joy that he puts in our hearts through his Son Jesus. And that's what would kill us. In our frail humanity, if we were to experience the goodness of God to its fullest degree, we could not handle it. Have you ever had one of those moments where you've been so overjoyed with something? I think about when my kids were born. It makes me want to cry right now thinking about it. Not because I'm sad, but because I just, there's this joy that floods your heart. And you don't know what to do with all of that emotion. And if you had even double that, could I stand it? I don't know. Imagine God's goodness and God's joy flooding our hearts. It would be too strong. Fully experiencing that as we are on this earth would be too strong for a frail nature. James 1 says it this way, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth, or rebirth, by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or his creation. So God gives us good gifts. Ultimately, that comes through Jesus. The glory of God that is most bright as it shines down is found in Jesus Christ, specifically in his love and goodness toward us, giving us new birth in him through his Spirit. So we see God's love, we see God's glory, we see his goodness revealed in Jesus. We also see grace. Look here, it says in verse John 1:14, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We have observed his glory, the glory as the one and only from the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Another way to say that is truly full of grace. The truth helps explain the grace. He is honestly, truthfully, and with all integrity full of grace. And that doesn't change. James 1 just told us he doesn't change or shift like shadows. God is always the same. He is faithful. What is grace? You've probably heard people say in explaining mercy and grace, actually justice. Justice is when we get what we deserve. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. And grace is, I messed it up. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. Specifically, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, and that's Jesus. Sometimes I believe we misunderstand God's grace, and we think, well, God is gracious to me if I'm good, but not so much if I'm bad. Or God will love me if I do the things He wants me to do, but He will reject me if I don't do these things. So we're looking at a conditional grace here. Sometimes we think I'll receive more love and blessing from God if I serve Him in whatever way it is we think we're supposed to serve Him. But He won't love me if I don't serve Him in this way. Guys, God's grace is not conditional. God's love is not conditional. He sent Jesus to save you before you were ever born. Here's the thing. This idea of conditional grace, conditional love, it's garbage. One, we never measure up. Even on our best day, we're not that good. You can't do anything to make yourself more worthy of God's grace. And here's the other thing. God is always gracious. It's part of His true character. God is giving us, in Jesus, what we don't deserve. We see God's grace. Another thing we see revealed is God's humility. Look at the very first part of verse 14 there. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God in heaven, Jesus the Son, Creator, Almighty, He speaks and it happens. When we read Revelation, we get a good picture of who Jesus is too. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the One who comes to reign over everything. This is Jesus. This is God. He emptied Himself and came down and dwelt on earth. That word there means he pitched His tent, or He tabernacled with us. He was hungry at times. He was dirty at times. He lived a very normal life among people. Some loved Him, some hated Him. They hated Him so much that they killed Him. And that's where we struggle to understand that God would become a man. He would humble Himself. Philippians 2. The Son would become obedient to the Father, obedient to the point even of death, death on a cross, so that we might be saved. But it doesn't end there. God says that God raised Him up and gave Him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. In the incarnation of Jesus, we see the humility of God. So when we speak of God revealing Himself to us through His Son, the first thing that we see is God revealing His character, His love, His glory, His goodness, His grace, His humility. The second thing that God is revealing to us in sending His Son is that God is revealing His plan, specifically His plan of salvation. If you turn over just a couple of chapters in your Bible, you'll see John chapter 3, verse 16. Most of us that have grown up in church know that verse. It says, "For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." We are able to share in the love of God. God reveals His plan. His plan is to give His love to us. We begin to share in the love God the Father has for His Son and for the world. We do this through the Spirit that gives us new life. It's the Spirit that raises us from death to life. And that's when we are born again, it ignites this love, the love of God inside of us. God revealing His plan to give or to share His love with us. The other thing that God's revealing about His plan is that He wants to redeem His people. Like what Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 17. It takes this Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, Hebrews 2, 14 and 17 explain that a little bit more deeply. Let's look at that for just a second. Why did Jesus need to become flesh? Why did He need to come down here and live with us? Hebrews 2, 14. Now, since the children, us, humanity, have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these, so that through His death, He might destroy the one holding the power of death. So because we are in flesh, we are people, Jesus, if He's going to save us, He needs to become like us. So Jesus became human so that He could save humans. Jesus died on the cross as the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. He died on the cross as a man so that He could save humanity. Hebrews 2:17 says this, therefore, He had to be like His brothers and sisters in every way so that He could become a merciful and faithful high priest in matters pertaining to God to make atonement for the sins of the people. Hebrews speaks of Jesus as the high priest that would offer, the high priest would offer sacrifices on behalf of the people so that sins could be forgiven. Well, Jesus is the great high priest who came once and for all to offer a sacrifice, but it wasn't a lamb or a bull. He offered Himself for the sins of the whole world. He came to redeem His people. 2 Corinthians 5 says that in Christ, God was reconciling the world back to Himself. Jesus is bringing us back to God. It's God's plan. God, here's the thing. God didn't create us in His image and desire to share His love for us just so He could watch us flounder in sin. He desires that we be saved. Get this. So Genesis chapter 3, we know that the fall of man, Adam and Eve are tempted by Satan, and they give in to that temptation. They turn their back on God. They selfishly pursue what they've been tempted to pursue. And Genesis 3:22 says something interesting. God says this, after Adam and Eve have sinned, after the curse has been given, Genesis 3:15, the promise has also been given that there would be one who would come to save one day. God says this in Genesis 3:22, since the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. See, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so now they've got the knowledge of good and evil. Before, they just had the knowledge of good. There was a kind of innocence, a purity. But then when they disobeyed, a whole another world of not just good, but evil was opened up to them and therefore to us because we come from Adam and Eve. So since the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not reach out, take from the tree of life, eat and live. See, there were two trees in the garden in Genesis. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there was the tree of life. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin entered the world. If they would have gone over and eaten from the tree of life, they would have lived forever in their sin. So God, pushing, kicking, moving, however you want to say it, Adam and Eve out of the garden was actually a kind of mercy and grace. So that God knew in Genesis 3, there would be a day when He would send a Savior to redeem His people. So that we don't have to live in sin We can be saved. Jesus is coming, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, shows that God wants to redeem His people. He wants to reconcile His people. God is calling us back to Himself. If you're a believer in Jesus, please praise Him for that during Christmas. Do it every day. Praise Him every day. If you're not a believer, if you haven't heard or understood the gospel, I want to encourage you. God loves you. God has made a way for you to be saved. And God is calling you to come back to Him. It takes us to point number three. So point number one, why does God reveal Himself? One, God wants to reveal His character. Number two, God wants to reveal His plan to share His love and His plan to redeem His people. The other thing that God is revealing is this. Number three, God is revealing our need. Three things real quick and then we'll be done. I believe God's revealing our need for relationship. So, John 1:14 tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became a real man with flesh and blood. He was 100% God. We've said that, 100% man. He did not become an avatar on our cell phones, guys. Okay? There's no, like, what are those images that you can portray? They did it with Michael Jackson, you know? And it's like, oh, he's alive. No, he's not. But they made it look like it. Jesus became flesh and blood, real. He didn't come as a video game character. God didn't just write stuff in the sky and say, hey, follow me, do this. He took on flesh. God is a relational God, Father, Son, Spirit. We've talked about that. And God cares about us, His people that He's created. God wants to have a relationship with us. The relational need that we have ultimately, as people made in His image, created in His image, we need to have our relationship with God fixed. If your relationship with God is not right, Jesus can make it right. Jesus came so that our sins can be forgiven. It says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But with Jesus, we can come to the Father. I want to share a quick story about that. I was talking to one of our church planters earlier this week. He lives up in Berkeley Springs. He's doing a great work up there. He said he grew up in that area from age 10 to 20. So for 10 years, he lived in Berkeley Springs. From age 17 to age 20, for 3 years, he was a drug addict and a drug dealer. And he said towards the end of that time, when he was about 20, getting close to being 20 years old, he was getting, something was happening in his heart, but he wasn't sure what it was, and he started to not enjoy being around those people that he had been around. And he kind of changed friend groups a little bit. He was still messed up, lost as could be, says he didn't know anything about Jesus. But this other friend group that he started to spend some time with, and now he's still selling drugs over here, he just kind of changed some of his acquaintances. One of those people says, hey, why don't you go with us tonight? We're going to listen to this guy, and he's going to speak, I don't know how it was marketed or advertised or what, but a guy's coming to speak, and it's at a school, and it's in a gymnasium, and let's go see what he has to say. So he went with his friends to the gymnasium, and there was a guy there that he had gone to high school with that was sharing his testimony about how God had saved him from sin, forgiven him, and given him a new life. My friend Ricky says something happened in his life that night, and he said that night he began to believe with all his heart that God was real. And he said he began to pray to God some at night. And he said it was real interesting. He started looking at his life. He was still doing all the same things he had been doing. But he began to look at his life almost like an outsider looking in. And he would look at things that were happening around him and think, man, that is messed up. I'm not happy with this. What do I do? And he said one day he goes over to a friend's house, and his friend wasn't there, but his friend's grandmother was there. The friend lived with the grandmother. Now, the grandmother was a lost Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witness are not Christian guys, okay? And she was a lost Jehovah's Witness. And he said to her, he didn't know anything though. And he said, do you know anything about Jesus? He said, I heard somebody talking about Jesus, and I know you go to church, and do you know anything about Jesus? She said, no, I don't know anything about Jesus. She said, but here's what I know. She said, I know there's a Bible verse where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God except through me. She said, that's all I know. He said, at that moment, when he heard that person, this lost lady, share John 14:6, he knew in his heart not only that God was real, but that Jesus had come to save him and make a way for him to be forgiven. He said he can't explain it, but he understood the gospel. God saved him. He entered back into a right relationship with God, and everything in Ricky's life has changed. That story, when he told me that, it reminded me of a story that I heard years ago from a guy that used to be at Fairlawn. See, he's a truck driver. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's one of the best testimonies I've ever heard. His wife gets saved, starts praying for him. I think some of you guys in here were praying for him. He's driving. He goes in to buy something in a convenience store, and the lady at the cash register, as she's giving his change back to him, says, God bless you. He walks out to his truck, and he starts weeping because he's thinking about the love that God has for him that he doesn't deserve. That guy got saved. That guy pastors a church today. Guys, when our need is for forgiveness and for our relationship with God to be made right, so that our relationship with others can be made right, when God does that in our lives, everything changes. Christmas helps us with that. Hey, sweetie. No, you're good. I'll let her do what she needs to do. Oh, no, you're fine. I have kids at home. I love kids. God reveals our need. One, for our relationship to be fixed with Him and with others. Ultimately, God is revealing our need for salvation. This is the heart and soul of Jesus' incarnation. We need to be saved from sin and death. He took on flesh to accomplish that for us. And He offers the gift of salvation freely to all who will receive and believe. Look there in John 1, verses 12 and 13. It explains there how Jesus came to His own, but His own didn't receive Him. We know that. They rejected Him. They hung Him on a cross. John 1:12 tells us this, though. But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but born of God. God wants to save us. Our ultimate need is for salvation. And here's the thing. God has given us the gift of Jesus. That's not in question. The question is, am I going to receive that gift? Probably in the next few days, over the next week, we're all going to be giving and receiving some gifts. Here's the thing. If somebody walks up and they've got a special gift for you and they hand it to you, and you just kind of like toss it, would you do that? Most of us would not. Maybe the really, really smart aleck one in us would, but guys, we receive that gift, right? God's gift of Jesus to us is to be received. If you haven't received Him, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, you can do that today. Our need for relationship, our need for salvation, but also our need for purpose. Purpose in life. God saves us for a reason. We worship Him, we love Him, and we join Him on mission, loving others and sharing the message of salvation with them. That's 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about God reconciling us back to Himself. It says He's made us ambassadors for Christ. We are to go out with the message of reconciliation. that God, through Christ, is reconciling the world back to himself. That's what he's given us to do. So here's the thing. Give to Lottie Moon. That's part of the way we support that mission that God is putting us on together. But what about my neighbor? What about my coworker? Am I sharing with them the message, the good news that Jesus has come to save us? So how do we respond? I think one of the first things I think of is, have you believed on Jesus, that he is the Savior of the world? Have you received him, the gift of God? Have you been saved? You can do that today. Here's another thing for those of us that have heard and know of God's grace, maybe even as believers. Have you misunderstood God's character and thought that somehow we have to earn his grace and love? Or now, I'd love to put my faith in Jesus. I'd love to be one of those church people, but I need to fix some things first. Guys, we can't fix anything. God fixes us. We trust him. We believe on him, and he does the work. Finally, are you worshiping Jesus at Christmas? Are you, your family, those that you spend time with, are you growing to better understand God's love for us through his Son? And is that an intentional part of your Christmas celebration? See, I'm afraid we know more about Christmas vacation, right, than we do about what Matthew and Luke have to say about Christmas. I grew up in one of those homes. Guys, you still have a week, okay? I'm not saying you can't watch it, but we will watch Elf, okay? I'm going to do it. But you still have a week to bring the focus back to Jesus. Let him be what we worship during this time. Let him be what we focus on during this time. Let his love be what we find joy in. God loves us, and he sent his Son. Let me pray for us. We're going to have a little bit of an invitation time as we sing. If you have any questions about anything I've said, I invite you to come up and talk with me or talk with somebody today. If you realize that you don't know what it means to have a relationship with God and you want to, or that Jesus died for your sins and you want to be forgiven, I would love, or any of the guys here would love to talk to you about that. If you just want to commit that you will let this Christmas be a time where your family and those that you spend time with, that you will focus on Jesus. That you will celebrate him as you celebrate this season. Commit that to God today. God, we are grateful that you sent your Son, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, you showed us your love and your glory and your goodness and your grace and your humility. God, for our sake, Jesus became sin. The one that did not know sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. God, thank you for that. Thank you for that work that you do in our hearts when you save us. And God, you call us to be your people. I pray if there's anybody here that hasn't experienced that, God, that they would today. I pray for us who have experienced that, God, that we would continue to grow in that love. God, in that joy. God, the wonder of what you've done by sending your Son. God, help us during these days of Christmas and celebration that, God, you would be the center of all that we do. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, as our invitation, once again, we just ask that you obey the Spirit this morning, whatever it is He's calling you to do. If you need to make a decision for Christ, Danny's going to be down front here, as well as Randy Jarvis. He's our Deacon of the Week. If you'd like to pray with them about that or talk with them about that, they'd be more than happy to talk with you about that. Or if you've got some other decision that you'd like to make or have somebody pray with you, they're down here for that. Or the altar, these steps are our altar. If you just feel the need to pray, you're welcome to come down and do that as well. Let's go ahead and stand as we begin our invitation.
Jarvis, I'm the Deacon of the Week. If there's anything you need, please give me a call and let me know. We'll be glad to help and serve you any way we can. Let's bow in prayer. Now, Father, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for Brother Danny as he came and gave your message, Lord. Just so thankful for him to come and share with us. And he travels quite a way, so just thank you. And that you be with him. I'd just like to have a special prayer for the people that's hurting in the church, Lord. Just there's a lot of sickness and ailment, and I just ask that your healing hand be with them, that your will be done. And our pastor search, Lord, just I ask blessings for each one of them. I know they're a prayerful group that is searching your guidance, and I just ask that you be with them and show them the man that you have lined up for us. We just ask that you bless this offering that we're about to take up, that it goes to further your kingdom, to plant the seeds that you may reap. We just ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Randy. If you hadn't noticed, there is a new place for you to put your tithes and offerings in. It's sort of like a white column thing, but I'd like to tell you that I spent many hours in the shop coming up with that, but that was not Rick, because it would not look any way near like that. God blessed me with a talent in the voice, and that's it. Randy Thompson designed that and came up with it, so we appreciate him using his talents that God gave him to do that. So, Brother Randy, I know you didn't want any praise or glory for this, but recognizing you, brother, thank you. Anyway, have a great week, folks. Remember what this season is all about, right? We need to share the love of Christ with those around us, even when you're 16 back in the Walmart checkout area, right? So anyway, have a great week, and don't forget Sunday night or Christmas Eve night, 6 to 7 o'clock here. Also help tomorrow or Tuesday here passing out the Christmas baskets and all right? Thank you all for being with us.